I'm very pleased to present today lecture 26 on the Hallel HaGadol. Can't be a better timing to talk about the Tehillim Shiur and to talk about Haggadah Shel Pesach. Hallel HaGadol is part of the Seder evening together with the Egyptian Hallel 113 to 118 and afterwards Hallel HaGadol. Very similar, a lot of very meaningful differences. I do think that only the Parshanut HaEkshrit, the contextual interpretation, when we look at these two units, we'll be able to understand the structure, the different messages of both Hallel units, and to see, based on the location in the fifth book, what the difference is and what the meaning is. I think that's a fascinating example for three reasons. First of all, we understand the book of the Bible in the context. I think without the answers that I try to present you later, it just doesn't make sense to have two similar texts, similar units, not really together, twice. Why? Why should that happen? And you start, you watch there and you want to see what's the reason for the differences. I couldn't find in the Mefarshim classical explanation what really the story is. And here we have a story. That is fascinating. B, we have insights in the world of Chachamim, and I'm very excited to show afterwards that both Hallel units are part of the structure of the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Based not on the Haggadah, that is based on the Gemara in Masechet Psachim. And I do think strongly that the Gemara in Psachim, you will not understand why they included both units and why they thought about a double unit if you don't understand the contextual interpretation. So two different worlds come together. That is good enough, two reasons for to be a very innovative analysis. But most importantly, I think that the messages of these units, how it flows in the story of the fifth book, are actually our story in our days, that we have the zchut after thousands of years to come back to see the return to Zion from the exile and build it up here. And this meaning is just incredible. That is the graphic which I used several times to explain the meaning of the fifth book, the flow of the fifth book. We had the different lectures here, which are structured clearly in Hallel units. We compare these two units and focus on 135, 136, and compare it to the previous one, Hallel HaMitzri and Hallel HaGadol. In between, something happens. We learn the Torah, chapter 119, the biggest mizmor in the entire Bible, the biggest perek in the Bible, the biggest mizmor in Tehillim. We focus on learning the Torah in alphabetical order, 8 times the alphabet. With the Torah, we have our spiritual religious sources, roots. Afterwards, we talk about Shir HaMalot, which are from 120, 135, we are back home, not only spiritually, religiously, we are back home geographically, as we spoke about it last week. This flow from Psukei de Zimra to the beginning of Hallel HaMitzri is very, very powerful. Interesting enough, as we should see later, the three units, Hallel HaMitzri is what we celebrate Pesach time. You see it better this way. And the Torah is what we do. The Torah is what we have Shavuot. Later in the Jewish rabbinic literature, Shavuot is the Torah. And later and beforehand, Shavuot was the time when we came with the first fruits to Jerusalem to bring the fruits to the temple. So that corresponds to Shavuot. As we should see here, the last unit is Sukkot, Hallel HaGadol, which corresponds beautifully because it opens our doors. If in the Hallel HaMitzri we came back and found the doors back from the exile from Mitzrayim to Yerushalayim and we opened the doors in Yerushalayim for us to get in, in Hallel HaGadol 135, we opened the doors being in Jerusalem, being at home there, we opened the doors for all visitors who want to pilgrimage, who want to come to Jerusalem, and we opened the doors and everybody is welcome, Jews and non-Jews alike, as we should see later. So the three units of Hallel HaMitzri, what is in between, and Hallel HaGadol correspond beautifully to the three ideas of the Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, and we should see that later. The Hallel units structure these the entire book, at least till here. We will have a big challenge next week to explain how does 137, when we talk about at the River of Babylon, how does that continue? That is a big, big challenge, the topic for next week's shiur. Here, everything flows beautifully. And once we saw the nice flow of these three units, we can actually understand what Rav Kook, the great mind of the beginning of this of the 20th century, who spoke about the return in our days, he wrote a song which was in parallel to Hatikva, and he said in his beautiful song, La'at chaya bilvaveinu ha'emuna ha'ne'emana lashuv le'eretz kocheinu ir David ba'chana. Forever lives in our heart the belief that we will come back in our land where David once lived. The Torah is our purpose, and we will be there with the Torah three times a year. We will come with pleasure and come for Aliyah. This beautiful song, which Rav Kook wrote as a response to the beginning of the political Zionism, is actually exactly the plan in the fifth book. I'm not making the point that Rav Kook understood Tehillim in the contextual flow. He was a genius mind, but that was not his source. He wrote it, and great mind, things alike. Exactly what he wrote is exactly what we have in the fifth book. We come back, 107. It is the place where David used to live in the past. It's 108 to 110. We will focus on the Torah, and three times a year making Aliyah. These are exactly the topics of the fifth book till chapter 136. What happened afterwards? We'll talk about it next week. And here we have the last three units. We're actually coming closer to the end of the course with the three remaining topics of 137, of the last unit, of Hallel Psukei de Zimra, and Ashrei and Psukei de Zimra for afterwards. I will not repeat these units here, but I think it is helpful to look at the same graphs and to read the entire fifth book. And to see how it flows, the fifth book is structured by the Hallel units in a very clear way. Hallel HaMitzri, from the exile to Eretz Yisrael. Afterwards, in Eretz Yisrael, we get stronger by getting involved in Torah learning and understanding our citizenship of being in Eretz Yisrael, Shirei HaMa'alot. And afterwards, we can open our doors for others. So the difference between coming back to Jerusalem and being home in Jerusalem is the difference between Hallel HaMitzri and Hallel HaGadol, which are both structured of a Mizmorim of Hallelujah and Hodu Lashem Kitov. We have it in both units, as we should see later on, and that continues in the fifth book. That is a summary in English. What we are doing now, I will read quickly 135. It's not a text that we will go in much detail, but I want to read it quickly and to get an idea about the world, the spirit of this Mizmor. Hallelujah. Hallelu et Shem Adonai, Hallelu Avdei Adonai, Sheomdim Bevet Adonai, Bechatzot Beit Eloheinu. Hallelujah, Ki Tov Adonai, Zamru Lishmo Ki Naim. כי יעקב בחר לו יה, ישראל לסגולתו. כי אני ידעתי כי גדול אדוני ואדוננו מכל אלוהים. כל אשר חפץ אדוני עשה בשמיים ובארץ, בימים וכל תרומות. מעלה נשיאים מקצה הארץ ברקים למטר עשה. מוצא רוח מאוצרותיו, שהיכה בחורי מצרים מאדם עד בהמה, שלח אותות ומופתים בתוככי מצרים, בפרעה ובכל עבדיו, שהיכה גויים רבים, והרג מלכים עצומים לסיחון מלך האמורי ולאוג מלך הבשן, ולאוג ולכל ממלכות כנען, ונתן ארצם נחלה, נחלה לישראל עמו. אדוני שמך לעולם, אדוני זכרך לדור ודור. Ki yadin Adonai amo v'al avadav yitnecham. Atzabei hakuhim kesef v'zahav ma'ase yedei adam. Pe lahem v'lo yedaberu, einayim lahem v'lo yiru, oznayim lahem v'lo yazinu. Af en yesh ruach b'fihem. Kemohem yihiyu osehem kol asher boteach bahem. בית ישראל ברכו את אדוני, בית הלוי, בית אהרון ברכו את אדוני, בית הלוי ברכו את אדוני, יראי אדוני ברכו את אדוני. ברוך אדוני מציון שוכן ירושלים, הללויה. We have a clear structure at the beginning. It's an invitation to praise God. Afterwards, there's a declaration that God is greater than all other gods. Are there other gods? Do we believe in other gods? And he is bigger than all them? Is that a polytheistic approach in the Bible, which is full of monotheism? So we afterwards, there are signs and wonders in the midst of Egypt, what happened at the Exodus of Egypt, but it is also what happened afterwards when they came to Eretz Israel. And the insignificance of the idols' worships and the worshippers, they fail. Am Israel, we will stick to Hashem and there will be a special bracha. That is, in general, the topic of the Mizmor. There are a lot of interesting analogies in the text, which I would like to summarize very briefly. We have at the beginning a hallelujah, the classical word hallelujah, hallelujah. That is the first word of the Mizmor and it is the last one. It's also mentioned in verse number three. Verse 3. And it's not only that a general formal opening and ending of the Mizmor, it is at the beginning a recruitment of all those who wish to sing a Hallel, Hallelu Echem Hashem, Hallelu Avdei Hashem. Please sing his name and be a worshipper of Hashem, be a Evet Hashem. So that is a typical feature, a real broad invitation to be a Evet Hashem to others. Very similar, as we should see later, like the first opening verse in Hallel HaMitzri. We have not only in the first section here, the Hallelu Avdei Hashem, in connection to Hallel, Hallelujah, Avdei Hashem, we have the servants in Egypt. Pharaoh and all his servants, they did not understand what the message is. Hashem sent signs to Egypt, verse 9, and he did it in the midst of Egypt. But they didn't get it. The Pharaoh uvechol avadav, those avadim of Pharaoh, the servants of Pharaoh, the slaves, they didn't get the point. But Am Yisrael, as we see in 14, that is Hashem's nation, and his servants, he should have mercy with them. So we have here a tension. Who are the avdei Hashem? All nations like Pharaoh and his avadim, or Am Yisrael and the avadim? We invite, the doors are open. We begin at the beginning, it says, those who stand in the home of Hashem, in the house of Hashem. Shomdim beveit Hashem, bechatzrot beit Hashem, in the courts of Hashem's home. And at the end, we praise Beit Israel, which is not the physical building. They should praise Hashem and Beit Aharon and Beit HaLevi. They should praise him. Also, Yirei Hashem, it doesn't have the word bayit here, but everybody is invited to praise, to bless Hashem. So here we have a big invitation. People should come and be the servants of Hashem. And if you do so, Hashem will be blessed from Zion, because Hashem is in Yerushalayim, and his bracha will come for all over. This is a very interesting chapter. The next chapter has the same motifs, and we should see in a moment in 26 verses, Ki Lo'olam Chasdo, the same ideas, even the same words are repeated. Why? We should talk about it soon. I would like to suggest to you here a commentary of this Mizmor, which I call the intertextual commentary. And that is a kind of a tikkun, because the classical sources, some of the classical German old scholars, they said, oh, this Mizmor, this chapter, very, very poor. No creative ideas. He took from all over. He did not have his own independent creative thinking or wording. He just copy-pasted from other places. And that is a good observation that there are a lot of quotations, a very, very lousy interpretation. They didn't get the point. I would like to show you here an example what the power is of intertextual analogies and the interpretation of that. The first one is, we say in Pasuk 137, 135, it says, because ki ani adati ki gadol Adonai va'adoneinu mikol Elohim. The person who comes to the temple, the visitor, says, I know that God is great and our Lord is bigger than all others. That sounds very polytheistic. And we praise what Hashem did in Egypt, Mitzrayim, before, and we say Baruch Hashem. These words, and I didn't point it out here with the typical colors, my apologies, it should be white on green. Yitro, when he came before Matan Torah to see Paro and Am Yisrael at Mount Sinai, he said, Vayomer Yitro, Baruch Hashem. Asher itzil etchem miyad Mitzrayim u'miyad Paro. Blessed is Hashem who saved you from Egypt and from Paro. And he was very happy and said, now I know that God is great, bigger than all other gods. He was not a monotheistic priest. He was a Kohen in Midian. No surprise that he spoke, ki gadol Hashem mikol Elohim. He is the biggest from all gods. But why is that included, ki gadol Hashem Va'adoneinu mikol Elohim? Why is this mizmor quoting Yitro? A polytheistic statement. I think, and I learned that from the German, the later scholars, Zenger and Hossfeld, in their commentary, the point is everybody is welcome to join. If Yitro could join in Exodus chapter 18 as the father-in-law of Moshe and respect Hashem, in the same token, everybody can join now who wants to recognize Hashem as the biggest God from all gods. What does it mean from all gods? According to their polytheistic approach, he is the biggest and the only one according to our monotheistic approach. It's an invitation. Everybody can be part of it. Everybody can join. And how interesting that in the same Pasuk, in the same Mizmor, we have later on statements about Moshe, bio. Moshe, the first time when God appeared to him at the snare, how do you say at the snare, at the bush, at the burning bush, Vayomer od Elohim el Moshe. What did he say? Hashem told him, Ze shmi leolam veze zichri ledor vador. That's my name forever, and that's my memory for all generations. Shmot Exodus 3. That is pretty much the beginning of Moshe's religious appointment as a leader. At the very, very end, in Dvarim 32, it says, Ki yadin Adonai amo v'al avadav yit necham. The same words are mentioned here in Tehilim 135, verse 13 and 14. Hashem zichrcha leolam, Hashem shimcha leolam, Hashem zichrcha ledor vador. These two verses are actually a summary of Moshe's religious appointment. From the very beginning, Exodus 3, to the very end, Dvarim 35. It is a summary what Moshe brought to the world, to Am Yisrael, and what his father-in-law experienced when he, as a non-Jewish priest, came to join Moshe at Har Sinai. That is a very... It's on one hand a Moshe statement, and on the other hand, it is by the intertextuality, an opening, whatever Moshe brought to Am Yisrael is open for other nations, like for Yitro. Yitro got it. He was the one who could join. Everybody can follow his steps. But there is more to that. The Mizmor talks about other nations who serve idols, and they will not be successful. But they should recognize Hashem. The Pasuk in chapter 135 quotes the full Pasuk from Jeremiah. In two places it's mentioned in Jeremiah, and there it talks about the punishment of Babylon. It's a full pasuk. Look, that is not intertextuality, one word or two words or three words. The entire pasuk in Tehillim is identical to the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. In Yirmiyahu, at the end, it says, Babylon will be punished. Their idols will be destroyed, and they will be punished, and Am Yisrael is coming back. Is there any need for a clearer analogy to say Tehillim lives the experience of Moshe Rabbeinu, his first and last pasuk, the Jewish leader? 135 lives Yitro. Everybody can join if he wants. And 135 lives Babylon in a negative sense. If they don't accept it and if they threaten us, they will be punished. This mizmor takes all these ideas together and makes a very clear statement. Everybody is welcome to join, like Yitro. Am Yisrael has a strong statement for the world, a big message transmitted by Moshe Rabbeinu. If you don't accept it, Babylon will be destroyed. Yirmiyahu, almost the end of the entire book, Yirmiyahu. And that is what the message is. They will be punished. Bavel, Am Yisrael is coming back following the footsteps of Moshe, and everybody is welcome to join as Yitro did. The intertextuality is extremely powerful, very clear formally, and very powerful from the message. And here we have a lot of analogies, and I would like to split this full slide where you just should get an impression how many sources are quoted here from Hallel HaGadol, quoting Hallel HaMitzri. That's the upper part, and the lower part is 135 is quoting 134. We will come back to this analogy later when we analyze it. Let's now focus on the analogy between Hallel HaGadol and Hallel HaMitzri. That is one of the most wonderful observations by the contextual interpretation. It is so extremely similar. If you look at classical explanations, I didn't see that they really point out these differences. You look at the classical German scholarship, they say how lousy, it's a copy from here, but the copy didn't really quote it properly, there are mistakes. Whatever they observe, the conclusions is very critical and not very meaningful. The conclusion is they couldn't read, they couldn't write, they didn't hear, and they couldn't write. It's not really not really impressive. And the differences are mistakes. It's not true. If you look at the difference in the upper part, you see powerful, meaningful messages. And I want to show that on this slide, which is a favorite slide of mine. It's a very, very special slide. We compare the three Hallel units. We will talk about this slide in the very last shiur when we talk about Hallel Psukei de Zimra, which is the final unit of Hallel. And that is really a great observation. It explains so much about the fifth book. It explains so much about Hallel HaMitzri, Hallel HaGadol, and what we say every day in Psukei de Zimra. I don't understand today how I was capable to read Tehillim without these insights. It doesn't make sense. The book is just anemic, has no messages, and it's just repetitive and over and over. If you look at the units like that, everything makes perfectly, clearly sense with very, very powerful messages. Again, back from Egypt to Jerusalem. In Hebrew, Mimitzrayim l'Yerushalayim. That's Hallel HaMitzri, 113 to 118. It has five mizmorim of Hallel, almost five, and one of Hodu Lashem Kitov, Ki Leolam Chasdo. We learn the Torah, 119. We get proud to be citizens of Yerushalayim. The Songs of the Essence, Shirei HaMalot, 120, 134. And afterwards, we sing again the Hallel. But now not of those who escaped Egypt and tried to open the doors in Jerusalem. No, those who live in Jerusalem, because they got proud and very, very meaningful citizens connected to the Torah in the center of the temple and connected to Zion, to the place where all the Jews pray for and live. It's the center. They live here and now they can open in Hallel HaGadol the doors to others. And we have the similarity. Let me focus now on the following analogies. Uh-oh. I will show it in this one. I will show it on the next slide. I want to show what is the difference on this slide when we say in the Hallel HaMitzri, we say, Hashem, hallelujah, praise Hashem. All the servants pray him, praise him and praise his name. And we say in the Hallel HaGadol, hallelujah, hallelu et Shem Hashem, hallelu avdei Hashem. What's the difference? A is B in the sentence and B is A. Both sentences begin with hallelujah, hallelujah. And afterwards it has the servants should praise Hashem and everybody should join. And here it says everybody should join and the servants should pray. Why the difference? Zeidel Katav, famous scholar Zeidel wrote about it. It's called Chok Shel Zeidel, that once somebody is quoting, he quotes A and B in the opposite order. I don't agree. There is much more into it. There is no reason if you quote something that you switch the order. That's the meaning. 113 talks about who is the servant? Ani avdecha ben amatecha. I'm your servant. 111 and 112 beforehand define in the twin psalms who is the servant who could follow Hashem. Whoever is the servant, the Jews who had the privilege to be the servant, they should come and they should praise. They should declare it. Hallel HaGadol takes the same idea, but in the opposite order. We are the servants and we sing. And we sing, and we sing. And whoever wants to join, please sing with us the name of Hashem. If you do so, finally, eventually, you will also be the servant. Oh, you could be like the servant of Am Yisrael, and if you don't do it right, you will be like the servant of Pharaoh, as I showed you before. The same idea, the opposite order. Look at these beautiful differences. It's like the game that you do. Take two pictures and these... In the newspaper, you have two pictures, find the difference, but here we have to explain it. Hallel HaMitzri, we say, Ve'eloheinu b'shamayim, kol asher chafetz hasa. God is in heaven. Whatever he wants to do, he does. He did when he took it out of Egypt. In 135, kol asher chafetz Hashem hasa. Where did he do it? B'shamayim, it's in red. It's quoting. But he is not only in the heaven. He is not only up there high in heaven. No, ba'uva'aretz, he is on earth, in the sea, and in the Talmud, in all the places he is. He is all over. His impact is felt down on earth. That's the difference. In Hallel HaMitzri, we believed in Hashem and had the privilege to be saved. In Hallel HaGadol, he is all over, and all nations should come and see him because he is here. And there, he is not only Bashamayim. Can you see here the empty space where it is white? It says Eloheinu Bashamayim. And what's on earth? Here is the answer. Hugamba Aretz. We have the same quotes here, really the same psukim with minor differences, which I cannot explain. But I want to explain. In Hallel HaMitzri, it says, I will come back and fulfill all my promises to Hashem in front of the Jewish people, in the courtyard of Yerushalayim, betochechi Yerushalayim, hallelujah. The word betochechi appears twice in the Bible, in 116 and in 135. In Hallel HaMitzri, I came from Egypt, I'm back in Jerusalem, in the midst of Jerusalem. In 135, Hashem sent signs and made miracles in Egypt, betochechi Mitzrayim, because he cares about the other nations. He wants to make miracles and everybody should be able to explain it to him. We are not focused on the Jewish experience in 135, about the Jewish experience together with others. And here's the next example. Actually, a few commentators commented, why is in 135 the quote very similar, but not really the same? In 115, we say, Hashem remembered us, and he should bless. He should bless Beit Israel. He should bless Aharon. He should bless those who fear Hashem, the small and big ones. In 135, we say almost the same, but the same words, but totally different. We say, Beit Israel, Am Israel, we should bless Hashem. Beit Aharon, you should bless Hashem. Oh, Beit HaLevi, also those who are the Levit, Leviim, they should also praise him. And Yirei Hashem Baruch Hu Et Hashem. So two major differences. In Halel HaMitzri, Hashem should bless us. The arrow goes from above down. In Halel HaGadol, we are home. We learned the Torah in 119. We are proud citizens of Yerushalayim. We are now capable to bless Hashem. We learned that from the priests in the Beit HaMikdash. The blessing that Hashem gave us, that we prayed for God's blessing in Halel HaMitzri, goes now back from Am Yisrael. We bless now Hashem back. The arrows go from down up. The same line of Beit Yisrael, Beit Aharon, and Yirei Hashem. No, not true. Almost the same line. Why don't we have Beit HaLevi in Halel HaMitzri? Why are they here, Beit HaLevi? That's very meaningful. I will not repeat over and over what some older commenter said. It's a mistake. It was a later addition, or he forgot it there. No. Beit HaLevi are those who sing in the temple, and they are the big singers. They are the messengers of Jewish poetry, of Jewish religious songs. When are they really full in action? They're fully in action when it comes to Halel HaGadol. Everybody is in the temple. Everybody studied the Torah in 119. We have the temple. We talk about the temple. Now we sing again in Halel HaGadol, the experience of getting out of Egypt. No, we are not singing out of Egypt back to Yerushalayim as in Halel HaMitzri. We are here. We are proud. We are very, very intelligent and citizens with a big, big, rich experience of the Torah and being back in Israel. We sing for others. The Leviim are fully in action. We need the Leviim, and we will hear in the next Mizmor 26 times that the Leviim say, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Leolam Chasdo. The first one who did that, who commented on that, he was not aware of the contextual interpretation, was the student of Mendelssohn who wrote that in his Bihur. That is the huge difference. If in Halel HaMitzri we had Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Leolam Chasdo, repeated only three times Ki Leolam Chasdo, in 136 we have Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Leolam Chasdo 26 times. It is a superlative, a further development of the old Hallel, meaning we came back, we were saved from Egypt, Hallel HaMitzri. Now we are much more than saved. We are happy to be here, and we will thrive here, and we will grow here, and we will invite others because we are capable to invite other people to be our guests. That is an unbelievable difference. Nothing is repetitive. There is a development, and the difference tells us the movement. Here is Mizmor 136. I don't have the time to read it, but I want to point out a few psukim which are very interesting. Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Leolam Chasdo. Hodu LeElohei HaElohim Ki Leolam Chasdo. Hodu LeAdonei HaAdonim Ki Leolam Chasdo. Yes, it is Egypt. But it is an invitation to praise him because his power is more powerful than all the other gods, is more powerful than all the other lords. How many lords do we have? We are monotheistic. What all of a sudden you talk about Elohei HaElohim, Adonai HaAdonim? And at the end, we tell the whole story and we thank Hashem that he brought us to Israel, 22. And in 23, we say, Sheb b'shifleinu zachar lanu ki leolam chasdo. Who remembered us in our lowliness, when we were down. Where have we been down? Where have we been, Shafel? Vayifrekeinu mitzareinu, 24. And he rescued us from our adversaries. Vayifrekeinu, that's not Hebrew. If you say in Hebrew, vayifrekeinu, it is like we say in prika uteina on animals. To take away the a load from animal, vayifrekeinu here to rescue, that's not Hebrew, ladies and gentlemen. That is Aramaic. That is Bavel. Yekum porkam in Shemaya, perok yatamach, lifrok in the sense of rescue. That's not a translation from Hebrew. That's a translation from Aramaic, from the language in Bavel. Where have we been? Beshifleinu. He gives bread to everybody. Noten lechem lechol basar, ki leolam chasdo, hodu le'el shamayim, praise Hashem who is in heaven. Why? What are these points, these monotheistic points, and why do we start to talk Aramaic at the end? The answer is very simple. I cannot go in all the details to explain it, but want to make a following point. First of all, the term Hodu Lashem Kitov Ki Leolam Chasdo, which appears here 26 times, is very typical. It starts, and I will show this unit in a better transplantation in one of the following slides. It repeats very clearly in a crescendo along the fifth book. And we have it here 26 times. It's the end point. The Levites sing in Yerushalayim beautiful songs. That is what Tehillim wants to point out. I will come back to that very shortly. But here we have a term, Elohei ha-Elohim v'Adonai ha-Adonim, which appears only twice in Hebrew and one time more in Sefer Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar said, Elachon hu ella elahin umarei malchin, which is quoting by a non-Jewish king, not Stam a non-Jewish king, Nebuchadnezzar. And he will recognize Hashem. So the term of Elohei ha-Elohim va-Adonai ha-Adonim is an invitation to the nations. Be our guests. The same way we accepted Hashem, you are welcome. You are welcome to join us and to accept Hashem. Shebeshifleinu, Ibn Ezra and Radak say it, that reminds us of the Galut in Bavel. I found the term Mamlacha Shfela, a low kingdom, which is a term for Babylon, a term for Babylon in Yecheskel. Vayifrikenu, I said it, is a term in Aramaic. It's not Hebrew. They talk all of a sudden Aramaic at the end of Tehillim. Why? Because we have the diaspora in Bavel in mind. And he gives bread to the God, to all flesh. Everybody is included. It's not Yiddish Kinderloch, the Jewish nation. Lechol basar. And we praise, thank Hashem, le'el hashamayim. That's the way the declaration of Cyrus starts when he invited Am Yisrael should come back. It's a very, very, very universal approach. So let's summarize the story, what we saw here. Halel HaMitzri, back from Egypt, learn the Torah when you get to Jerusalem, be citizens here, and now you are open not only to get to the place where you are rescued, you are open now to open it for others. And that will be further developed in Halel HaMitzri. I show it here again with the three units. We open for all the other places on the journey that we show all other nations we are back again, as it's summarized here. What happened here between these units? How do we know that they are glued together? The end of Shir HaMa'alot, the end of the Songs of the Ascent, and the beginning of Halel HaGadol. Many years ago to read the contextual interpretation, I was happy to read the Shir HaMa'alot. You say it's Shabbat afternoon, beautiful unit of 5, 15 Mizmorim. Terrific. Yevarech Adonai Mitzion, Oseh Shamayim Va'aretz. That's the last pasuk in Shirei HaMa'alot, Song of Ascents. At a total different opportunity, Pesach or Shabbat morning, we have these units of Halel HaGadol. But you never ever read them together in the Sidur. If you read them together in the Bible, you have finished this unit, you start another one. It's not true. I will show you here how beautifully these units are connected, and one hand shakes the hand of the other. They really are connected like that, as you see on this slide. That's the end of Shirei HaMa'alot, and that's the beginning of Halel HaGadol. Before I talk about the meaning of it, you see the term Avdei Hashem, Ha'omdim Beveit Hashem, Balelot, is repeated here. But what is the difference? The servants who are in the home of Hashem, in the house of Hashem at night, are those who do night shifts there. They work there. These are the Kohanim. How do I know that these are the Kohanim who do night shifts? Because only there work there overnight, Balelot. But the next sentence says, Se'u yadechem kodesh uvarchu et Hashem. Lift up your hands and say the blessing. Which blessing? Yevarechecha Hashem mitzion, Oseh Shamayim Ba'aretz. The priests say, and we spoke about that last week, Yevarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. So whatever they say here at night, they should say here, everybody who comes, not only who works there overnight, but who comes to the Chatzrot Beit Hashem, who comes to the courtyards, welcome, Shalom Aleichem. Whoever comes, be my guest. We can open the doors. We are capable to open the doors. We learned. We have a Torah 119. We have a state 120, 135. We will invite everybody. We are prepared to accept others who come to visit. If here the priest should say, Baruch Ha, Baruch Hu et Hashem, Hinei Baruch Hu et Hashem, you should bless Hashem twice. The priests are saying the Birkat Kohanim. Who is saying here the Bracha? Am Yisrael, Beit Yisrael, Baruch Hu et Hashem. Beit Aharon, Baruch Hu et Hashem. Beit HaLevi, Baruch Hu et Hashem. Yirei Hashem, Baruch Hu et Hashem. Who are the Yirei Hashem? Those who fear Hashem. An interesting discussion. You can comment on that later on. Yirei Hashem could be those of Am Yisrael who have a respect for Hashem, and could also be those of the Umot HaOlam, of the Gentiles who fear Hashem. And even Avraham said, Lo yadati sheyesh yirat Elohim b'makom hazeh. He didn't know when he was with Avimelech that you have yirat Hashem. We expect yirat Hashem from other nations. So if we have Beit Yisrael, Beit Aharon, Beit HaLevi as representative of the Jewish people, Yirei Hashem tolerates also to have those included who respect Hashem and not part of the Jewish nations. For example, as an example, Yitro is par excellence a representative of outside of Am Yisrael. If here we ask Hashem, Yevarechecha Hashem mitzion, the priestly blessing from Jerusalem, in 135 we say no, we are not waiting for Hashem only that he blesses us. Yes, we got the blessing in the Songs of the Ascents until 135. Now we are proactive. We are the carriers of the bracha, and we invite others. We are not children anymore. We grew up. We are not those who were saved. We learned it. We are part of it. And we invite others because we are full, active, and proactive of Dei Hashem to invite others. Baruch Hashem Mitzion, we are home Yerushalayim. Hallelujah. That is a beautiful insight. So we have the whole story, as I told you before, in parallel to Rav Kook's song, and that flows beautifully of the fifth book. I showed you this summary several times, and now we understood till 136, the beautiful, beautiful story, how it flows. I can only recommend you to read it over and over. Take an hour or two and read from 107 to 136 in one flow, no breaks in between. You read it and you grow together with the story, with the narrative of this unit. What will happen afterwards is a topic for next shiur. I promise to talk about Hodu Lashem Kitov, Ki Leolam Chasdo, thank Hashem because he is good and his mercy is forever. That's a term from Yirmiyahu. When he talks about the return to from the exile, he says, Kol sason v'kol simcha, kol chatan v'kol kala, kol lomrim hodu et Hashem tzvaot, ki tov ki leolam chasdo. That's his vision. Mevi'im toda beit Hashem. When he will come back, he says it at the end of the first temple period. It's repeated in 107 and 106 and 107, just at the turning point, at the end of the fourth to the beginning of the fifth book. It's repeated in the Halel HaMitzri four times. It's repeated in 135 and 136, 26 times. That's the final accord, the final orchestra. All of them are invited, and we invite also those from all nations, Noten Lechem Lechol Basar, and it will continue in Sefer Ezra, in Divrei Yamim, where it's mentioned. We see here the story of the entire book of Tehilim. We are coming to the end. The fifth book repeats the Halel Vehoda'a a little bit at the beginning of the fifth book, more and more and more, and that's the symbol. It's getting bigger and stronger. At the end, King David will give it a very powerful push to invite all other nations. Chachamim had a very good eye, a sharp eye, and a sense of humor. Lama nikra shmo Halel Gadol? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, mipnei shakadosh baruch hu yoshev berumo shel olam, ומחלק מזונות לכל בריאה. Why is Hallel Gadol? Hallel Gadol does not deserve to be called the great Hallel. It's the shortest one, two chapters only. Hallel HaMitzri is 6 chapters. Psukei DeZimra is 6 chapters. Why is it so big? Because Hashem presents himself as he cares for all the entire world. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Hane 26 hodu, keneged mi? Why do you repeat it 26 times, the word? כנגד 26 דורות שברא הקדוש ברוך הוא בעולמו ולא נתן להם תורה וזן אותם בחסדו. Before Hashem gave the Torah, the pre-Jewish state of history, the pre-Jewish period, before Matan Torah, were 26 generations from Adam, Noach to Abraham till they were at Har Sinai. The 26 reflect the care of Hashem for all nations, every human being that Hashem cares for, before, independent of the Torah. Beautiful Midrash, of course, it's not evident from the text, but Chachamim had a good understanding. And the Yerushalmi explains further, everybody who benefits from the rain, מפני שירידת גשמים כלולה בהם, or נותן לחם לכל בשר. We celebrate Hashem Hallel HaGadol because he is big, for the entire world, for the universe. Yes, it's our experience. I want now to show you something, and I left it for the last 5 minutes, which is one of the most exciting examples of contextual interpretation. And I want to tell you here that very often if I read the non-Jewish scholars, which I love and appreciate and admire, it gives me a feeling, oh, I'm a yeshiva boy, I should better learn the Gemara with Rashi and Tosfot and Midrash and be a good Jewish boy. And I have no problem to learn other sources, but these are two different worlds. These scholars do not quote, or very, very rarely or superficially, the Talmud. And when I learn the Talmud and I want to understand why do you say Pesach time, Hallel HaMitzri and Hallel HaGadol, I didn't find good answers. And here we have an example, which for me personally has like a therapeutic effect. No schizophrenia between scholarship and learning Tehillim in a new way and being a Jewish yeshiva boy who is trying to learn the Gemara. I want to show you this combination. And I think you will not understand, I could not understand the Gemara without understanding what these two great scholars, Zenger and Hossfeld, and many others who followed them, elaborated as the contextual interpretation. Believe me, Zenger and Hossfeld had no understanding what I'm going to show you now, and the people who learned the Gemara have no understanding. It's really a very special experience, what I'm trying to show you now. And I'm showing you what we discussed in the Haggadah Shiul. It's at the end of the handout. We have here, in a different format, the contextual flow from Hallel HaMitzri, Hallel HaGadol, and afterwards to Psukei DeZimra. It's another presentation by a graphic artist who did it beautifully. We have it here from 111, 112. Out of Egypt, Mimitzrayim, Lirushalayim. We learn the Torah, we say Shir HaMa'alot. And we discussed these differences in the other presentation I showed you before. So we can go fast. That's the contextual interpretation of Tehillim, biblical innovative analysis, reading Tehillim as a narrative. And now we come to the Mishnah. Now I should talk Yiddish, and I should present in a Heimische Yiddish. What do we read in the Gemara? In the Mishnah, in Masechet Psachim, we read the following. We read Psachim, which is the basis for the Haggadah. Mazgulo Kos is the first Kos. We say the first part of Hallel, and after the fourth cup, we say Gomeret Hallel. That is the beginning of the Egyptian Hallel, as we see here. And that's the closing of the Egyptian Hallel. What is mentioned here in the Mishnah of the beginning is 113 to 114. And after the meal on Pesach, we have the third cup for Birkat HaMazon and the fourth cup for Et Hallel. That's Hallel. Exodus of Egypt, that's the topic of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Fair enough, that's the topic of the evening. At the end, the Mishnah says, Ve'omer alav birkat hashir. And you sing something. It's not only the description out of Egypt. At the end, we have a song. It means we experience it, we celebrate it, we have a religious experience. That is Birkat Hashir. The Gemara asks, what is this Birkat Hashir? Oops. What is the Birkat Hashir? Let me show it to you bigger. That is what the Gemara says in Masechet Psachim 118 Aleph. The Gomer Alav Birkat Hashir. What is the blessing? We say these two brachot in our Birkat Hamazon. Rav Yehuda Amar Yehalelucha Hashem Elokeinu. The text is Yehalelucha. That's the ending of Halel HaMitzri. Whenever we say Halel for Rosh Chodesh and Chagim, at the end we have a bracha of Yehalelucha. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, no, no. That's not the bracha of Birkat Hashir. There is another bracha. It is called Nishmat Kol Chai. When do we say Nishmat Kol Chai? Shabbos morning, if we have time to say Psukei de Zimra at length, we finish Psukei de Zimra with Nishmat Kol Chai Tevarechet Shimcha Hashem Elokeinu. What's the machloket of Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan? Who cares which bracha? The Mishnah says Birkat Hashir. I tried to search the Gemara here. I couldn't really find it. Why do they worry about it? And then the Gemara says, Gomer alav et halel, and the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Tarfon, ve'omer alav halel agadol. Part of the Birkat Hashir is, you include the big halel. Which part is halel agadol? And we have here all the units. Rambam says, Kos Hamishir, will not elaborate that now. Let's understand, what's the point that Chachamim fight here? They have an argument, two Jews, two opinions. Why do they care what the bracha is about Yehalelucha or Nishmat Kol Chai? The answer is very simple. Is the Exodus in Egypt, which we celebrate in Seder, is it getting out of Egypt and that's it? Or that would be Halel HaMitzri, or is it getting out of Egypt? And as we learned in the contextual interpretation of the narrative, afterwards you learn Torah. And when you come from Egypt to Yerushalayim, you learn Torah, you're part of the citizens, you build Yerushalayim, and you invite others in the Halel HaGadol, and at the end, we will invite the entire world to sing with us, Psukei de Zimra. That is the Halel units in Tehilim. If we understood that according to the contextual interpretation, now we understand what Rav Yehuda says. He says, I'm fine. You say at the end, Yalelucha Hashem Elokeinu. Why? That's the closing of every Halel HaMitzri. Rav Yehuda, he lived in Babylon. You don't have to learn his biography of all Talmidei Chachamim. Let me tell you a trick. If the name of a rabbi is Rav, he lives in Chutz Laretz. If the name is Rebbe, he lives in Eretz Yisrael. For reasons not to be explained now. Rav Yehuda lived in Bavel, and he said, Yehalelucha Hashem Elokeinu is enough to talk about the Exodus from Egypt. You finished Exodus of Egypt, Halel HaMitzri, L'chaim, sing, out of Egypt, not in the exile, not in the diaspora anymore. That is Halel HaMitzri. Rabbi Yochanan, who lived in Eretz Israel, says, no, 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 no. The story from Halel HaMitzri goes on. It goes to Halel HaGadol. The Gemara says you have to say the Halel HaGadol in Pesach. We are part of Yerushalayim. We say L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim. We celebrate Yivne Beito Bekarov in the Haggadah, and we bring it to Psukei de Zimra. What is the blessing according to Chazal? Nishmat Kol Chai, Tevarechet Shemcha Shem Elokeinu. Our Rabbi Yochanan Amar, you continue to sing. It is a long song. The song takes you a wonderful journey from Egypt to Yerushalayim, to learning Torah, to build the city of Yerushalayim, to open the doors for other Halel HaGadol, and to invite the entire world. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Nishmat Kol Chai. That is the beauty where everything comes together. I'm not really serious if I'm telling you that I have to apologize for getting too excited, because I don't think I have to apologize. But if my excitement was too much for you, I'm happy to apologize. I think that is a wonderful insight. The Gemara will not be understood, not according to the Rishonim and Achronim. You need Tzenger Hosfeld. They didn't know what they said, that they gave a pshat for the Gemara. And the Pasuk is not the detection by Tzenger and Hosfeld. Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Yehuda said it, the Mishnah said it. And in the Seder, we follow Halel HaMitzri, and we keep on with our journey of Geulah from Egypt to Yerushalayim, and you grow there, and you say the Halel HaGadol, and you say at the end Nishmat Kol Chai, because we want to come Kol HaNeshama. We spoke today about the twin Mizmorim, 135, 6, the structure and the messages and their location in the fifth book. We defined the difference between Egyptian Hallel and Hallel HaGadol. The analogy is the difference and the narrative, which is created by the Delta. And we showed how it works in beautifully in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. And we spoke about Hallel HaGadol. And we'll talk next week before Pesach about Al Narot Bavel 137 and the unit till 145. And for Pesach time, Yetz Hashem will be a shiur on Ashrei Tila Le David 145, Psukei de Zimra. And we are open for ideas for our Siyum in lecture 100, in lecture 30, when I will give a short overview. And anybody who has suggestions or ideas is welcome to be in touch with us and come up with great ideas. Thank you for your attention.
Okay, thank you very much, Rabbi Benny. So we have here a couple of questions. One is from Tova. Why is the order Beit Yisrael and then Beit Aaron, Beit Levi, Yirei Shamayim in 135? And I think there was another also that we quoted that has this order. Why specifically in this, you know, in this direction?
That's a very interesting question, which I think is related to who are the main players. If we talk in, first of all, Beit Israel is a general term, have mercy with the Yiddish Kinderloch, with the Jewish people. Beit Aharon, they had a clear role in the Mikdash. Aharon is the brother of Moshe, and his role as part of the leadership is personally, historically well established. So no surprise that you start with Aharon. Aharon is on the level of the hierarchy. He is the guy, he is the Kohen, the high priest who goes to the Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. So for sure he was after Moshe, the leading person in the temple. Afterwards, once you have a temple and the Levim, they can sing there, they follow afterwards as a further specification, Am Yisrael, Aharon as the leader, the responsible person in charge of the Mikdash, of Kedusha, and Beit HaLevi, who sings it and brings it to the broader audience. They come afterwards and only in Hallel HaGadol. Yirei Hashem is everybody who wants to join. So there is a certain logic. You start generally. Aharon is the leading the priests with the Levi'im in his team. And afterwards, everybody is invited.
Very nice. Okay, so you go from the general to the specific to the, what you, according to this interpretation, to the more general of Yirei Hashem, which is universal, if I'm not making,
correct.
If I'm not mistaken.
Correct. And that brings you, of course, back to the priests who were in the Mikdash later on, and the Levi'im who were the big singers, which is a status of the roles in the Mikdash, in the temple, the songs.
Very nice. We have one more question from Molly, which I think is always this tension between the direct message to Am Yisrael and the universal message. So regarding the reference to Ezra, there's a bit of confusion because there's an attempt to separate from the locals and other nations. So how do you combine that all together?
So here, that is a very, very interesting discussion. And we will come to this question. I had a very interesting email correspondence. And if you want to comment on that, you're welcome to do so. We open the horizons. And that is a question in the text. If I talk about Hallel HaMitzri, I celebrate, I was saved, the Jewish Kinderloch were saved. To say that actually it's a message for Egypt, for Lefa'o ulechol avadav, uleog melech habashan. It's a message for all nations. We will see in the next shiurim that Sefer Tehillim opens the horizons. And we care about Am Yisrael. And we are saved. But when we talk about Sukkot, and we know that very well, if Hallel HaGadol is an analogy to Sukkot, Sukkot, 70 sacrifices, 70 nations, Zechariah 14, all nations will come to celebrate Sukkot. Why will they come Sukkot? Because it's not only us who are saved, it's the entire world who could benefit from the idea. So slowly it opens our horizon to the entire world. That is something which caused me it was a process to read. I don't think, and I agree with you, we spoke about it. If you want to comment on that, you're welcome to do so. Now we don't see the other nations being fully active. Yitro, he got it. He's quoted. Ata yadati ki gadol Adonai v'Adonainu mikol Elohim. We like Yitro. Yes, he was a little bit mishpucha of Moshe Rabbeinu. Great. But afterwards, all nations are invited. Oh, we talk about Babylon, Al Narot Bavel, our enemies. Not an easy one, 137. Next week, we'll have a tough chapter to explain. A very tough. What's the flow? What's the ethics? What's the message of this mizmor? It will be a very tough one. But afterwards, we invite all the nations. You're welcome to comment, please. Mute. You are on mute. Carol, you're on mute.
Okay, great. I got it. Yeah, I'm the one with the email correspondence. So I have to say the Sukkot thing and a lot of the things you said are moving me more in your direction. But I still think it doesn't have to be as universal, as open an invitation. And one thing that I would say is that, didn't get touched on, is that in the Shir HaMaalot from 120 to 134, there's a lot of insecurity. You know, there's a lot of insecurity there, and I think there's concern that we're really not deserving of this. It's kind of up and down. So I think there's more of like a focus on us, and I don't think we're really secure. In 133 and 134, it kind of comes to a resolution. Like, we're the brothers, we're all together. And then 134 is like this jubilant, Kohanim and everything. And then I think kind of like 135 is the result of kind of 134, kind of let's now sing. So I think also because of some of the language that there's more of a concentration on Beit Yisrael, really, on us. And I would just point in 120 to 134 also on the concentration on our children and our generations. Like you pointed out last week about the 51 references to Hashem's name, and the central point is 127. And in 127:3, we talk about banim and pribeten, and that's kind of like the turning point, I think, of Shir HaMaalot. And we see then in 128 a lot about children as olive trees, and it ends, and may you see your children born to your children, peace upon Israel. So I think Shir HaMaalot is more about this kind of consolidation and kind of gaining security, like you've been talking about, of being, being at home. But I don't see it necessarily at the level of really reaching out to others to join us right away. Like also with the reversal of 113:1 and 135:1, where it says, Haluka halu abdei Hashem halu et shem Hashem, in 113, I think you alluded to this, but that's like, I think it makes sense that Abdei Hashem comes first, because we've just been talking about in 112 about what it means to be praiseworthy. So it follows into, okay, now I'm calling on those people, the Abdei Hashem. Whereas in 135:1, as I said, in 134, we're like really excited. So we're like not focused on the Abdei Hashem. We're kind of just saying, hallelujah, like everybody, and then kind of specifying Abdei Hashem. So those were some of my thoughts.
So thank you very much, Carol. We had an interesting email exchange over the last week. And everybody who wants to hear Carol's very, very beautiful analysis, please be in touch. You can touch by email, and if you want to forward that. I can agree with you that from Halel HaMitzri, where we are very Jewish-oriented, oh, yes, we invited the other nations in 117, very clearly, very, very short, the shortest chapter in the Bible. Very curt. Oh, nations, you can come. Have a good day. But in 135 and 6, we are much more open for that. Please read 138, chapter 138, Pasuk Hey, where it says, Yoducha Adonai kol malchei aretz, and all the nations should come and sing. and after 137. So we will talk about that next week, and we should talk about Halel Tehillah LeDavid. Now it's explosive. And the punchline of Sefer Tehillim is Kol HaNeshamah Ta'Aleliya, everybody. So we grow. Let me tell you that it's not the text who grows. I think that if we want to be open for other nations, it's a process which needs a lot of time. And my grandparents were not capable when they lived wherever they lived and were suffered. No. Run away, stay in the ghetto. Keep to the Halel HaMitzri. The more you get open and we are in a different situation, we can invite to the gates of Jerusalem other nations. Nothing to be concerned about. And that is the message of Tehillim. That is a beautiful text. It is reading a new reading of the text, but Baruch Hashem, it is even more than that. It's a new Jewish identity. It's much more. Thank you, Carol.
Okay, thank you very much, Carol, and thank you very much, Rabbi Benny, and we look forward to seeing everyone next week. Next week, we also have, if you haven't signed up and are interested, Rabbi Benny is going to be giving a Pesach Shi'ur about the Haggadah and the Mishnah. I'm putting a link here to sign up if you'd like, and we had the first class last week, and the next class is going to be this Sunday. And so we look forward to, and next week, God willing, we will see you pre-Pesach to Tehillim. So everyone should have a good week.